Darja and Dan on your radio. One of my favorite things to say every day. Well, here we come to the final song. I can't believe we're here. This is it for Tarzan Dan on Q107. I have had an amazing 6.5 years. I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking the time to spend some time with me, maybe share a laugh, maybe go, what the hell was that parody song? All the good stuff and all the bad stuff that we've gone through together. Thank you for taking the time to make me a small part of your day. Because if I actually came into your house and changed the radio stations, I'd probably get arrested. So thanks for choosing me. Wow, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. I know how to end this. Here's my last parody song at Q107. Pretty piano. Here we go. Joy to the world. I'm unemployed. I'm going to collect the eyes.
December 16th, 2022, Tarzan Dan Freeman's last break on Calgary's Q107. After helming Afternoon Drive on the classic rock station for 6 years, he was unexpectedly laid off less than 10 days before Christmas, followed by what he says was one of his hardest years ever, convinced his radio career was most likely over. But like every good comeback story, Freeman now finds himself with a new coast-to-coast show hosting middays across iHeartRadio's Bounce Radio Network. Tarzan Dan joins us on Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast, to talk about being back in the national spotlight, his legacy as that guy from YTV's hit list, and his advice to others who find themselves between radio gigs.
Tarzan Dan on Bounce.
How you doing? It's Tarzan Dan. I loved radio from the first time I heard it. My mom was such a fan. My dad was such a fan. The radio was always playing in the car. My mom was a fan of morning shows. My dad was a fan of morning shows. Yet nobody in my family had ever worked in radio. And I remember we were quite poor when I was a kid. And I thought if I could get on the radio, I could get free music and I'd get to go see all these concerts. And that literally is why I got into radio. Outside of guys like Mike Cooper and Tom Rivers and Roger Ashby and Jim Brady and all these guys I grew up listening to. And I remember like John Major, the guy sold call letters like nobody's business. All these guys I used to listen to and think, man, what a fun job. And Mike Cooper, of all people, was the guy that meant the most to me outside of Tom Rivers. Tom took the time of this snot-nosed kid who just would call him on the phone, just like other people call us as announcers. And I'd be like, dude, I want to be a radio announcer. And he's like, well, then don't grow up, you know? And you know what? I took all those people and I thought, if I can just figure out how to be all those people at the same time and roll them into one DJ, because they're all successful and all likable and all friendly and all nice and highly creative, I could potentially have a career. Little did I know that I would be able to do it for over 40 years and ruin so many mixtapes. Like, people go, what generation do you associate with? And I'm like, the mixtape generation, because I ruined so many of their tapes. Like, I talk to people, and when people talk to me, they're like, dude, you talked over all my favorite songs, and I still have tapes at home. So to me, that's such a genuinely honest reaction when you meet somebody. And coming to Toronto after being away for so long, with COVID as well, I think the amazing thing for me has been just the phenomenal support, and even doing the national show now for iHeartRadio and on the Bounce Network. It's just incredible. These people all have stories. Oh, I met you at this concert and you signed this autograph. We did a concert here in Toronto with Con Can and Simone Denny. It was the first time that Con Can had played Toronto in 30 years. And he had me come out and brought me out to introduce the band. And I had a lady show up. Now, here we are, 2024. This lady shows up with a autographed Madonna ticket from 1993. And it was outside the Sky Dome. She met me when I was in the CFTR Hip Monster. And she showed it to me. And it said, "Yo, baby, yo. Helen, hope you're having a great day. Tarzan Dan." And I was like, oh, my God. She held on to that all these years and brought it back to me to see. First reaction was, holy shit. You know what? The concert ticket was $38. I don't think you'd get a Madonna ticket for that price these days. But the other side of it was, wow, to think you left your mark. And you left your mark in such a positive way that people react like that. I went to the Raptors game and people coming up and, oh, can we get a picture? Hi, it's so awesome to see you. I was listening to you on Boom and now I'm listening to you on Bounce. And I'm just, it's so great to hear you back in the market in Toronto and in the area. And then what I've gotten more of, especially with the national thing and with iHeart Radio app, people messaging me. See, they're messaging me now. And they're messaging me and saying, I moved to Halifax, but it's just so great to turn the radio on. I grew up in wherever, or I watched the Hit List back in the day on YTV. And back then we didn't have anything but much music and Hit List to tell us about music and all the stars. And to think that we were part of that iconic, you know, time when it was so special because you almost got the gift of, And I always say I feel so fortunate, so much gratitude for being given the opportunity to be that guy that was the one that got to present these new bands like Spice Girls and Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and rock bands like Collective Soul and all that. And to still be friends with all these, to introduce Beyonce and Destiny's Child to all of Canada. What a special gift to be given somebody. And, you know, I still can't believe I was the one that got to do it. So to this day, I think the one thing that I've always thought about, even when I crack the mic every time, is it's time to have fun. It's time to put a smile on people's faces. There's not going to be a lot of heavy lifting for your brain cells when you listen to my show. You're just going to have a good time. And that to this day means everything to me. And when somebody will come back and repeat a bit back to me or something that I did that I don't even remember I did, it really is such a wonderful, electric, there's something special still about radio, even though it's morphing and it's moving and it's changing into other things and they can listen other ways. There's so much gratitude for an industry that, you know, I don't know, I'm probably one of the guys in the industry that's been laid off more than anybody. So I know all about that. But at the same time, you give me the chance to shine and I'm going to do whatever I can to let you know just how much fun I'm having. And to this day, you go through some tough times. You go through some hard times, some trying and challenging times. But when you get the opportunity to do what you love, is it really work?
Quickly take us through your laundry list of stations.
Good Lord.
And stops from beginning to end. Where did it all start?
It all started in a little radio station in Brampton, Ontario, when I was 15 years old. I had originally gone into CFTR to pick up a prize in Toronto, and I met Mike Cooper, and I was losing my mind. I could not believe that this guy was even talking to me, and he knew who I was because I phoned in all the time and drove him nuts. And after that, I knew I rode the subway down. I was so excited, you know, and I met him, and I just couldn't even believe that he took the time, and he was so gracious and such a nice guy. And I was like, man, I want to be him, because he'd always talk about, you know, having a beer with somebody on the dock. I was like, I could be that guy. You want to have a beer with me? I'm not old enough to drink yet. But anyways, I got a job. Another friend of mine, Peter Blake, who now he makes and invents systems for the police. Originally, he was really interested in radio, and he was very good at it as a kid. And he was the one who said, man, you should get in radio too. We should do this together, man. This would be great. And now he actually does like radar detecting and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, he made a demo tape one time, and I sent it into 790 CHIC. Anyway, they had changed to CKMW, and I was this kid who sounded like a kid who couldn't worth like announced worth a darn, seriously. And I got the job on the overnights and I was terrible. I think I got let go in 3 months. Fast forward to when I worked at Zoom, the PD that was the PD at that time was also one of the announcers on Zoomer in Toronto. And so when I was filling in for a couple of announcers on Zoomer, I had him on because he was promoting his show. And I introduced Gene Stevens. And I said, I'd like to introduce you to the guy who fired me from my first radio job, told me I probably should get out of the industry. And he goes, well, you have days where you're wrong. And I said, it was the best thing ever because I was so ticked off as a kid that I'm going to prove you wrong. So anyway, I ended up going from there to Thunder Bay. I worked in Thunder Bay for a year at CJLB. And then I came back and I was at CKAR at 1350 CKAR with Dan Wilmot for a year and a bit. So, like, you know, it's that lifestyle of you're just, you know, trying to go up the ladder. And then I got a job in Calgary. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to Calgary for nothing. And I went to Calgary and worked at 66 CFR. Within 10 months, I was let go. I was so green and really hard to contain because I was this really creative kid that didn't understand that you need to walk or crawl before you can walk or run. So I'd always try stuff and I get in trouble for it. And anyway, nonetheless, they let me go. And the next day, Don Stevens, who I owe so much of my career to, Don Stevens called me and he said, I heard you're on the street. And I said, yeah. He says, you're going to come in and talk to me today. And this is when we're meeting. And I want to talk to you about something. At that point, CFCN 1060 had not flipped to AM 106. And he brought me in and he told me what was about to happen. And he says, we're going to have this powerhouse of a top 40. We're going to take down XL radio. And he says, it's going to be huge. I want you to be part of it. You're going to be my 10 to 2 guy at night. I was like, okay. I didn't realize how big an imprint he would have on me. Anyway, I went and worked for them for, I think it was 5 years. And over that time, I ended up doing evenings. And we took the show to number one. And it was funny because J.J. Johnson, who I have so much respect for, he was working at LG 73 and CFOX in Vancouver. And he had me come in when I was out there. And he says, hey, man, we should meet. And so when we were talking, he says, so how are the ratings out in Calgary? And I said, Don tells me that I have like a 73 share. And without blinking, he goes, a 73 share, huh? And I'm like, yeah, that's what he says. I don't know what that means. He goes, a 73 share. Okay, well, it was great to have you in. And he told me later, he said, I was just trying to get you to Vancouver, but I had no spot for you. Anyway, so he phones me and he goes, hi. He says, I wanted to give you a call and just say it was really great that you came in. And I had to tell you, I checked your ratings. Yes, you have a 73 share. How is that even possible? Like, how is that even possible that you're doing evenings, you have a 73 share? He says, do you understand what that means? It's a big piece of pie. You have 73% of the pie. How is that even? And I was like, really? And so anyways, so that was when I realized, hey, maybe what I'm doing could actually work. And Don always told me that he says, I'm going to give you enough rope in the yard so you can actually run. And you're going to run and run and run. And eventually, once in a while, I'll just yank on that chain and bring you back. And so by giving me the chance to be creative and screw up and do things that didn't make sense, do things that were, you know, developmental or give me an opportunity to just shine, it was really, really cool. Ended up leaving them and going to Vancouver to 1040 Kicks. I lasted there a couple of years and I did evenings there. And then it was Sandy Sanderson who happened to be in town and he heard me on the radio. And Don Stevens was now, I think, just he had been at Mix and he had moved over to CFTR. He phones me and he goes, Dan, it's Don. I'm like, what the heck? How are you, man? He's like, listen, do you want to come to Toronto? I'm like, what? He goes, do you want to come from Toronto? I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. When do I get on a plane? Like, I was ready to go, right? To work at CFTR, a kid that grew up listening to CFTR and 1050 Chum. And that's all it ever meant to me was that this is where the stars lived. And I knew that that's where it was going to happen. So he ended up negotiating my contract for me. Sandy had phoned him and said, who is this kid? He goes, oh, he used to work for me. I can get him. And it was funny because years later when Don had a heart attack, he actually texted me from the hospital. And he says, by the way, the heart attack that I had today was because of you. It's just 28 years too late. And so anyways, we had the best time. Such a great run at CFTR and just so, so fantastic. And then I, while I was at CFTR, I got the hit list. And then, of course, CFTR turned into 680 News, which was ironic that I was still the one of the voices on 680 News as a promo guy, even though I didn't work there anymore. And I worked for YTV and I was doing the hit list, which I did for a number of years. And that was the national video countdown show. And then I ended up going over to AM 640. And then I was off the radio. And then Sandy Sanderson phones me and he goes, hey, buddy. He says, we're going to put a top 40 station on in Toronto. So you can see now what I was saying about being laid off so many times. I've had a lot of jobs in this industry. So anyways, Kiss 92 was to be born. And he says, you see all those tapes against the wall, against the window there? He says, find me yours. And it was a bright yellow cassette that said Tarzan Dan demo on the side. And he goes, see that? That's why I'm hiring you. Because I can find your tape. And if that guy took that much time and effort in his demo, I know what he's going to do for me on the radio. So sure enough, I'm going to go back to CFTR for 2 seconds. Tom Rivers and Jesse and Gene were so supportive and were great teachers for me as well. Tom Rivers, God love him, man. I can't even tell you to have grown up listening to him and then for him to be so giving and then to be the guy who was doing afternoons. And then I moved into his spot and I remember him telling me, he says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to be leaving. He says, they're going to probably offer you the job and you take it. He says, you're ready. And I just couldn't even believe that, like to get that stamp of approval from Tom Rivers, like, holy crap. Anyway, so fast forward to Kiss 92. We had a huge run. That station was mammoth. We had so much fun. The team was just incredible. Mad Dog and Billy and KJ and just all the stuff that we did there. We just had such a good time. And under Julie Adam, that ended for me. I ended up going out to the Okanagan and doing morning radio there. So how many jobs do you think I've had? It's a bit of a career. So out to the Okanagan, did the Okanagan and did Sun FM there. Did mornings. We were number one with a 43 share. Pretty crazy. And I remember when we got there and there was another morning show that was our sister station that were so dominant. And I said, I promise you we're going to take them down. And Mark Burley was like, okay, whatever. And I said, no, I promise you, you're going to sit here and you're going to be like, holy cow, you were right. I said, we're just going to have fun radio. And so I got to do that with Susan Knight for a number of years. From the Okanagan, went out to Vancouver again. And it was a short stint at CFUN because they flipped the radio station. And I think I worked for Rogers for 4 months in Vancouver. And then they ended up moving me to Victoria. And I did the show at Jack from Vancouver. On the day that I got let go from Rogers, I got a phone call asking if I'd be interested in going to Kiss 92 for Pattison in Calgary. And I also got a job offer from Vancouver. And I was like, what do I do? But the one from Calgary was twice the money. So I was like, okay, guess I'm getting on a plane and going to Calgary. So I moved to Calgary and worked for Kiss 92. That lasted 3 years. After that, I was like, well, you know, what do I do now? Like, maybe it's done. Maybe it's over. And then out of the blue, got a call from Phil Carlson. He says, look, he says, our guy. Oh, no, they actually called me and asked me if I want to do mornings in Ottawa. And I said, you know what? We're really happy here. We've been doing really, really well in Calgary. And my wife has a great job. You know what? We're going to stay in Calgary, I think. And so he said, well, that's cool. Because the guy who applied for the job is from Ottawa. So I want to send him to Ottawa. And can you take his job? And I was like, that's the best kind of karma, right? You're taking the job that's available. So I did afternoons at Q107. Then I got laid off after 6 years. Because they decided to lose their mind. So it's a little bit tiny career, not many changes.
Take us back to that day, December 16th, 2022, your last day on air at Q107. Right. What was going through your mind when you were told that Chorus was pulling the plug on the format?
I was confused. I didn't understand because we had had a decent book. We had always done well in afternoons. I really loved doing what I was doing. And that's the thing. When you love something and it's part of you, it's really hard when somebody wants to rip it out of your chest and throw it on the floor and stomp on it with their foot at Christmas time. Anyway, they decided to lay me off at Christmas, which, of course, try and get a job after that, right? And have a return phone call. Well, that'll be a couple months. Anyway, nonetheless, I remember even talking to one of the heads there and saying, look, you know, could you have done it at any other time? Like, really seriously? And they repurposed everybody but me. So I was like, what is happening? Like, why? What would I ever do? So there were lots of questions going through my mind. But on that day, I was just, I'm going to celebrate. I said to them, I want to do an all request show for the whole show. I'm going to end it the way I'm going to end it. It's going to be very Dan and very funny. And I'm going to do a parody song and you're going to love it. And I am going to be that guy that you hired in the beginning that's going to go out in glory, because I'm not going to ever, you know, I'm not that guy. I would never, you know, bash somebody. That's not cool. That's not me. And so anyway, so I did the show and then I bawled my eyes out after the last song and after I played my little parody thing about, you know, hoping that somebody would hire me. And then it was probably one of the most difficult and hardest years I've ever gone through, and thinking it was over, completely over. Like, okay, I've done everything I ever wanted to set my mind to and accomplish in my career. Maybe it's over. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to let it go. And then all of a sudden, a few people started making phone calls and saying, hey, can we talk? And I was like, you're kidding me. You want me to do a national show? Are you kidding? Really? And you want me to be part of the iHeart personalities? And wait a sec. I thought I was like done. And I have even a bigger smile on my face than when I was doing the other job, you know, because I just can't believe that it's even bigger than it ever was. It feels like all the footprints you put in the sand earlier, somebody saw them and went, oh, he's still walking. Oh my God. Well, maybe he's relevant. Maybe people like him. And it was just, it was my wife who actually said to me, she goes, you know what? I got to give full props to Stingray and to Steve Jones. These guys were amazing to me. When Bob Steele had his situation where he had to take a little bit of time off, and they said, could you fill in Calgary? And I was like, yes, please. Thank you. And the ratings were really good. And then Steve had said, look, we're looking at somebody for Boom. Would you be interested in doing Boom Weekends? And I said, you know, you guys pay me nothing, right? Like, I'm literally, you know, surviving on EI. And he goes, right. And my wife was like, but your profile, it's all about your profile. Dan is relevant. People like listening to you. You're having a great time, even though maybe things aren't going your way in real life all the time. She was right. Hands down, she was right. Keeping the profile up and just trying to stay positive. And sure enough, you know, I can't say enough about how Stingray let me shine and do what I love and have a good time doing it and walk out of the building with a huge smile on my face every day, which set me up for iHeart when they came knocking. I'm the happiest guy. You can't even right now. You can't believe it.
I have to say, it is good to hear you again for those of us who've been out of one of the markets you've been heard in more recently. You touched on it off the top, but what kind of calls are you getting from listeners who remember you from the hit list or one of your other gigs?
One lady, I'm from Halifax and I grew up in Toronto and I watched you on the hit list. And I said, are you still nauseous from the camera moving so much? Because I am. I got to take Gravol still. Anyway, so, but it was just like, I couldn't believe that here I was connecting with somebody in Halifax who back in the day used to watch me on the TV show and listen to me on the radio in Toronto. And she was like, I met you at a Backstreet Boys concert. Do you remember when you used to do Backstreet Fridays and everybody would drive to somewhere that you would give them the location and you'd create this huge traffic jam on the 401? And I was like, oh my God, that was great radio. That was so fun. And I remember we got in so much trouble all the time. It's like, why are you doing this? Stop doing this. And we'd give away 100 pairs of tickets. And she goes, I did that. And to think that you're part of that landscape in their life is a wonderful feeling. And so there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, and then from a celebrity standpoint, to hear from numerous celebrities, you know, people like Nelly Furtado, who grew up watching me on TV, was out in Nanaimo, and she was a huge Hit List fan, or Rain Maida, or Avril Lavigne, or whatever. And it's just bizarre to me that they're like, oh my God, this is so great, you're on iHeart. You know, to hear from Berenica Ladies, or Stephen Page, or just any number of people that you had a part of, and you were part of their career, or their life, or, you know, to hear from Maestro, and all these Canadian acts that you know, they were kids that actually, you know, Sam Roberts was telling me that I said to him, I said, why did you watch the show? And he says, I had a crush on Mitsu. And so I said, bye bye, Mon Cowboy. And he goes, exactly. I even own that album still. You know, so it's so weird to be that guy. Like I said earlier, that I feel so grateful that I got to be that guy. There could have been anybody, and I got to be that guy. And to still now see it come back to me again, it fills my heart with so much happiness that we did something right.
There's been a lot of discussion about networked programming and the perceived mm-hmm. pitfalls of not being hyper-local. Do you have thoughts on how to do it well? I feel in your case, you're such a well-known personality with a national presence. You already have an instant connection with a lot of people.
Sure. From my perspective, I still, even though I do the national show, I also do for numerous stations in the, like on the Bounce Network, I will do local breaks as well. So I will actually log into their station computer and drop in local breaks. And as well, because the stations are so local and they're talking about, here's what's going on in Halifax, or here's what's going on in Summerland, or here's what's going on in Hamilton. The station stays local. And yet I'm the entertainment and the fun that happens around it. And I think the other thing that we see, you know, back in the day, whether it was Rick Dees or whether it was Casey Kasem or any of those guys, and now Ryan Seacrest, of course, and all the other people who do it, there's a lot of syndication, or there's always been people that have been bigger than what is local. But the local was always still done. So I think because we have so many more platforms now, and this is what is really exciting for me, is to be that guy that started off on radio, and now I'm on apps, now I'm on an iHeart website, now I'm on a YouTube channel, now I'm on, and I'm part of a team of people that are so amazing and so creative and so talented, and to be included in that. And so when people listen, they're entertained, they're getting what they want, they can get other stuff that they want. But in the same respect, if they tune in, even on the app, and they go, I want to listen, I'm listening in Hamilton. And that's what I get a lot of. That's actually funny that you mentioned earlier. What is one of the things? People be like, I told Siri to listen to you, and it came on, and I'm listening, and you're in Hamilton, or you're in Owen Sound, or you're in Brockville, or you're in Fredericton, or you're in wherever they are. So they feel like I am on their radio station. And all I'm doing is having fun. That's the key. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Don't think too hard. Play the tunes. Put a smile on people's faces. And they'll get the local from the local, no matter which way they decide to listen. You know, you can download the app now to your dashboard and listen in the car. I was talking to a doctor yesterday that I met, and he said, every time I shower at the hospital, I put it on my Bluetooth speaker, and I have it on my app on my phone, and then I just walk to my car, and it's still playing, and then it plays in my car, and I drive. And he says, and the best part is because it's time shifted and you're on 10 to 2 on Bounce across the country, if I miss some of it and I want to listen to more, I just listen to another station that's Bounce. So I just think that that's the cool part about it, is that if you want to be local or you desire to have local, you can find it. But if you just want to be entertained, which is 99% of the people that listen to the radio, and I don't know how sometimes radio has forgotten that that's exactly why we do what we do, is it's escapism. It's the fun of looking at things and not being too over analytical. unfortunately, the internet has given everybody the opportunity to complain about everything. And I think too often that's the focus. Hey, what do you think? How do you feel? Give us a call. And I'm like, I get that. And I understand that. And I understand it'll also generate ratings. But it's, you know, they talk about low hanging fruit. Sorry, you know, but if you got a guy on the radio that's having fun and putting people on the air from across the country, or you're just enjoying yourself, or you're coming up with a funny bit, if you do that and you entertain them, they're also going to be there. And so I think that, you know, we as a developing medium that hasn't stayed the same over all these years, it's just a different, there's just more ways to listen. You have to step your game up because there's more competition. And you got to be better than everybody else. And you got to be that person that people want to tune into and want to spend time with. And they know they're going to walk away with a good feeling because that's part of the furniture in the house. I remember Marilyn Dennis saying to me one time, you know, we're literally furniture in the house. We're their favorite chair. They sit in it every day. If you can become that, it's rare. And so that's, you know, great analogy because that's exactly it. Literally, what we do is make hamburgers. In radio, we make hamburgers. Today, I make hamburgers at this hamburger joint. They make it this way. Tomorrow, I could work at another hamburger joint, and I make a hamburger slightly different, but it's still hamburgers. It's just radio, and it's supposed to taste great, supposed to sound great, supposed to have a lot of fun doing it. And you know what? I'm still having fun doing it.
Do you find you're connecting with listeners differently via, you know, some of those digital channels like TikTok and Instagram?
Yeah. And the thing is people will actually send me a message and they say, oh, you always talk about the iHeartRadio app, and I can download it and I can pick whatever station I want to listen to. And if I'm listening to you, there's a little microphone there and I can push it and I can leave you a message and you could call me back, or I could tell you something or say something. Yep. And I mean, who knew that that was possible back in the day when you had to phone in and hope you got a hold of the radio announcer? Whether it's the iHeartRadio app, people still emailing, or they're texting. So many more opportunities for communication now. And I think that that, for me, is really cool because they use all of them. And there's different people in different parts of the country that are more advanced in technology and others that aren't. But that's okay. It fits whatever fits you. And that's one of the things that I think is, what is the future? Is what fits them? What do they want to listen to you on? Or what do they want to, oh, do they want to be, you know, down at the beach, or they want to be at a park and they want to be able to, on their phone, listen to you anywhere in the world, wherever they are. I'm on a beach in Italy. I can listen to Tarzan Dan. From that respect, people connecting and communicating, there's so many opportunities and so many different ways for them to do it. That it's been, you know, kind of eye-opening because I get to be on the cutting edge of it. And it's exciting.
Everybody loves a good comeback story, Dan. Would you have imagined you'd end up in another national gig with a coast-to-coast show, let alone, you know, hosting on the social?
I know, right? Like, what is wrong with that? Like, I'm hoping I can keep up with these ladies. They are so good. To be honest, when I got to the point where I thought it was over, I would have never said ever that it was going to happen. Then when I got the swing gig at XL in Calgary and Boom in Toronto, I thought, well, maybe if I stick around long enough, maybe somebody will, you know, be needing me to be a full-timer in whatever city works. And then when iHeart came knocking, it was just like, are you kidding me? And then when they told me, oh, and we want you to be one of our iHeart personalities as well, I'm like, is this actually happening? Do you know what I was doing a year ago? Really miserable a little bit. Okay, a lot of bit. I can't believe it. And I, again, feel so grateful that after this much career and this much experience and this much fun that I've had over all these years and all these encounters with whether it's listeners or celebrities or, you know, the friendships that I still have, or the fact that people listened all those years ago and still feel connected to you or still have a memory of you. And I remember it was Rick Dees. I met him and he says, be nice to everybody always. You never know who they're going to become. And I said, what do you mean? And he says, so you're going to meet them, and that's their one time, and they will have a vivid memory of that moment for the rest of their lives, because that was their encounter with you. So remember that even if you're having a day or whatever, take the time, make the effort, because it's worth it, because they're going to remember you. And when it comes back around, it's the best feeling. And wasn't he right? And now here we are, and it's a national thing, and people are like, yeah, I got kids now. And I'm like, but I, you know, like when we did the Concan concert with Simone Denny in Toronto, and it was a whole throwback night, the crowd, it was packed. And it was all people that were anywhere from 35 to whatever. And they were just having the time of their life, like it was the 90s or the early 2000s, where nothing mattered. Didn't matter that there was a carbon tax or anything like that, or that you couldn't afford anything, or you can't even afford groceries. No, it was just the fact that, you know what? You were living back when it was good. And the fact that now that person that was there when it was good is still doing what they do. That's what somebody said to me. The fact that you're still doing what you do and you still can make me laugh, that says that it's going to be okay.
Do you have advice for those who've been part of some of these waves of layoffs that we've seen recently?
Two things. Network, 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 network. You know what? Put it out there. Let people know that you're still interested in working. And I know it's easy to get discouraged. I went there. It can become a very dark place. And then all of a sudden you just kind of shut yourself off from people and you're like, you know, people don't need to hear me complain. My wife was a catalyst to get, and John Milkey. I got Milkman. That guy, I'm going to get emotional because he helped me so much. He just said, get up off the mat and swing. And whatever it is that you have to do, get out there. Just like my wife, get out there and get your platform. Start doing TikToks. Start doing your social media. You have a big footprint. Let people know that you're not finished. Let people know that you're relevant. Let people know that you still have a great sense of humor, which you do. And just have fun. And if it's time for it to be over, it'll be over. But I don't think it's over for you. And I think that that's it. If you come to the conclusion that you can take a step back and get paid crap, you now have your foot in the building. You have your foot in the company. Steve Jones, you know, was amazing to me and said, look, dude, when the opportunity comes, you're the right guy. We just got to wait for the opportunity. And I got a job offer in that time. And he was like, with my blessing, go take that and just do everything that you know how to do. And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, man, I gave him a big hug. And I was like, thank you so much for everything. Because there are people that believe in you. And I couldn't believe how many cheerleaders were there behind me that I never knew were even there. I can't tell you enough that, you know, when you're at that low point, there is another level and you can step up to it. And I know it's not easy sometimes. Network, put it out there, let them know, check back in with them. I hope it works out for you because I can't believe it happened to me. But I've been laid off a million times, so I know it could continue. You can get another job.
What's your biggest takeaway, Dan, from the last 3 years?
Remember, it's never guaranteed, but enjoy the ride while you got it. Because when the wave comes in, you got to be ready. And you just get on, and I surf. I wake surf all the time. So you get on that board and you ride it like you're just having the biggest shit-eating grin on your face. And enjoy your life and enjoy what you get to do. Because not every day you get to do it. But when you do, there's nothing better.
Is there a thought you want to close on, Dan?
I want to say thank you to all the people who gave me a shot. All the people who wrote me and said, don't worry, things will work out. Thank you. I feel, again, so fortunate. I'm going to get emotional here. But anybody who gave me a shot, thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to join us, Dan.
I can't believe that we're talking after all this time. Now I got to win one of those, you know, awards from you guys one of these days.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're one of the ones that I haven't won yet.
We look forward to your entry, Dan. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time with me. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks for listening to Broadcast Dialogue. For more information about the podcast or to receive exclusive access to our weekly briefing about the Canadian media industry, visit us at broadcastdialogue.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn, and follow us on Twitter and SoundCloud.
Looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C, as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, the Fountain app, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.